And whether you're here in the auditorium or at home, grab a Bible and turn with me to the book of John. We are in a series that we're calling The Hard Sayings of Jesus. If you were to take a survey and you were to ask 1,000 people the question, who is Jesus, you would get a variety of answers. In fact, they did exactly that a couple of years ago in New York City, right around Christmas time. That's a good time to take that survey. And they asked people on the streets of New York City, who is Jesus? And they got some very interesting answers. A number of people said, well, wasn't he the guy with the beard? And we don't know. Perhaps they saw a picture somewhere that way. Someone else replied, well, that's a made-up story, that Jesus didn't even exist. By the way, I do a little side study on the historical Jesus, and I have found numerous Jewish writings that talk about Jesus. Now, some from different perspectives, but there's ample evidence that the historical Jesus actually existed. Well, somebody else said, I don't know who Jesus is. One lady said, well, there was something special about him, just like you and me. Well, the first part of what she said was good. She just added the wrong thing at the end. Another person said, well, he had good morals. Someone else said he had a special gift. One guy said, well, he was a Gandhi-type guy. And then another person said, well, he was a guy, he has superpowers. They've been watching too many Batman movies. The fact is, many people don't have a good answer for the question, who is Jesus? Although most people seem to think that he was a good man. Even other religions of the world have a view of who Jesus is. For example, Judaism believes that he was a religious teacher, or on the other side, there are those who say he was an imposter. Islam says he was a prophet. Hinduism said he was a holy man. Buddhism says he was an enlightened man. Even people who don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God generally have a favorable view of Jesus. That makes a statement that we're going to look at today even harder to understand. In fact, I think today we're going to look at perhaps one of the hardest statements in the New Testament. We're looking at things that Jesus said that don't seem to match up with who we believe he is as the Son of God. And today our message is entitled, Hate. Really? Look at Luke chapter 14 with me. I may have said a minute ago, turn to John. If I did, that was a mistake. Turn to Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what did Jesus mean by this statement? Is he really telling us that if we are going to follow him, if we are going to be his disciple, then we have to hate our families, our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers, our wives, our children? Is that really what he is saying? What about love? Didn't Jesus teach us to love other people? And the answer is yes, he did. Let me quickly summarize for you this morning some of the things that the Bible says about love. The Bible teaches us that we are to love other people and a variety of other people, even some people that we might not want to love. For example, we're told that we're to love other Christians. In John 13, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. That's other believers, people in the church. We're to love other people generally. In Romans 13, Jesus said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, with the rich young ruler, we can ask, who's my neighbor? And Jesus gives us the parable of the man who was beaten and left for dead, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the answer to who is my neighbor is anyone who has a need, and that includes most people. Well, the Bible says we're even to love our enemies. Luke 6, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. That's a whole nother message right there. In fact, the Bible says we are to love people who hate us. Luke 6, 27, do good to those who hate you. The Bible over and over again tells us that we are to love. Now, the Bible even takes this whole discussion of love to another level. In John, 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says God is love. And as Christians, we're taught that we're to be like God. In fact, John says if we don't love like God, then we don't belong to God. That puts love at a very high priority for the Christian. Think for a moment about the Ten Commandments. The fifth commandment tells us that we're to honor our fathers and our mothers. That is a call to love them supremely. You can't do that if you're going to keep Jesus' word here and hate your mother and your father. Finally, the Bible says that the supreme characteristic of the Christian is that we will be known by our love. People should be able to identify us by the fact that we are loving people, not that we are hateful people. The point is that God makes love a vital part of the Christian life. It is who God is. It is to be who we are. So how do you reconcile all of that with what Jesus says in Luke chapter 14? Well, I want to look at four areas with you this morning that I think will help us to understand Jesus' statement here. And we're going to begin with the larger context. Now, when you look at a context of a passage of Scripture, you're going to look at where it took place, you're going to look at who it was said to, you're going to look at some of the things that were said at the same time, you're going to look at the material that surrounds that statement in the passage. Well, in this case, it's especially important for us to remember who Jesus was talking to when he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, etc., etc. He was talking to his disciples. These were Jewish men who had a Jewish outlook on life, who looked at life from a Jewish perspective. And their Jewish outlook on life was conditioned overwhelmingly by one thing, and that was the Old Testament. Everything in their lives was based on what the Old Testament said. So what does the Old Testament say about hate? Well, let me give you just three passages. The first, Genesis 29. When the Lord saw that, this is a story of Rachel and Leah. You recall, married to Jacob. And when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. The word unloved here is the Hebrew word for, guess what? Hate. Literally, the text says, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated. And it's used that way in a number of Old Testament passages. Now, most of our newer translations understand that, and they will translate it by Leah was unloved, Leah was loved less, Leah was neglected by Jacob. And that's because there's no indication anywhere in the story of Jacob that he hated Leah, he just loved Rachel more. another passage, Deuteronomy 21:15. We're not going to turn to it. Let me just describe it to you. It's part of the law, and it talks about a man who has two wives. One wife he loves, one wife not so much. Sort of like the story of Jacob. And again, the word hated is used here. Literally, it says, one wife was loved, the other was hated. Now, what Deuteronomy is talking about in the context here is the inheritance and how the inheritance was to be divided between the son of the wife who was loved and the son of the wife who was loved not so much. And the Old Testament stopped the man from giving a larger portion of the inheritance to the son of the wife he loved than he gave to the son of the wife he hated or he loved less. Just because he preferred one wife over the other does not mean he could prefer one son over the other. You see, it wasn't about hatred. It was about preferences. It was about favoritism. One more passage in the Old Testament, this time in Malachi. I guess I missed it there. Okay. Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Let me read it to you. I have loved you, says the Lord. He's speaking to Israel now. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? God speaking, says the Lord. Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Now, the Apostle Paul picked that up out of the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, and he quoted it in the book of Romans. Recently, we have studied the book of Romans together. And in Romans chapter 9, when we went through that passage, I shared with you a quote from Dr. John Murray's commentary on the book of Romans. Let me read it again. He says, in God's hate, there is no malice, there is no malignancy, there is no vindictiveness, there is no unholy rancor, there is no bitterness. Now, if I asked you to describe hatred, you would probably describe it with one of those words: malice, anger, vindictiveness. But in God's hatred, there is none of that. God's hatred is totally different than human hatred. God's hatred of Esau expressed how God dealt with Esau in comparison to how he dealt with Jacob. He chose Jacob to be the line through which the Messiah would come. To a Jewish person, that was the highest privilege. You see, Esau was blessed by God. His father pronounced a blessing on him, but it was nothing in comparison to the blessing that Jacob received. Jacob's blessing looked like the supreme blessing of the universe, supreme love, but in comparison, Esau's looked like nothing. You see, the Old Testament often used the word hatred not to express human anger and human hatred of another person, but to express a lesser degree of love, a lesser degree of affection. In Genesis, Rachel was loved more in comparison to Leah. In Deuteronomy, one wife was loved more in comparison to the other. In Malachi, Jacob was loved more in comparison to Esau. In each case, the love of one was so intense that it made the response to the other person look almost like hatred. Now, that's the framework in which the disciples would have understood the statement of Jesus when he said they were to hate their parents if they were going to follow him. They understood that he was talking in comparative terms.